Imelan Tobela, and hello and welcome to this weekly news wrap-up brought to you by the SL Cabinet. I am your host today, Gwena Mashwale, joined by my colleagues, Herman Molloy and Nandi Ntini. Say hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, guys. We are the youth of today, bringing you all things new and current affairs through our eyes, well, our young eyes. I hope you stick with us as we look at the week's biggest stories, talk about the controversies, and definitely laugh about the odd ones. Let's get comfortable and let's dive right in. So, guys, Mboro has been doing the most during this whole week, and he finally made bail. I mean, you know, church is going to go back to normal on Sunday. Well, I think he'll rent another church.
Yeah, yeah,
he probably has money to rent another church. But yeah, I feel like it was a big celebration there at the courts. Our reporter Thulani Mbele did the story on Thursday. His supporters were there, the congregation and everyone. I mean, they had big posters and big banners.
Why do they act like Mboro didn't do anything massive?
No, he didn't do anything. Did you not hear? These are people who think Mboro is...
The alleged spirit was sending him to prison to fix the prison in South Africa.
I mean, you look at that.
You can't expect anything less than this from Mboro.
And they say that this is like a new revelation for them. It's a new journey. Yeah. God is doing this for them to go stronger. And they believe Mboro is going to come out even more spiritually connected. I mean, this is the same man that said there are people who depend on him spiritually. That's why he needs to get out.
Two things to note. Ne? One is that he apologized to that lady. I prayed for you. And then the second part, he said he will give more details, but then he amended that prison is not a good place. It's not a good space. I think although we might say whatever we want to say, at least it's something positive that we can take.
As much as he could. I mean, I feel like he was a little bit arrogant in the courts. Mm. I mean, yes, obviously, yes, you are that pastor, that controversial pastor, and you have a lot of support, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't treat the judicial system with a bit of respect, you understand? I mean, but anyway, let's look at that video that Thulani posted.
Being a father, being a man in South Africa, it's a very painful thing. It feels emotional. I'm glad that my two sons are here. I never wanted my children to be known because I was avoiding a lot. In their lives, they never had a good time with their father. He's been there saving lives and doing a lot. But being straight to the point, Gore, we were threatened in my house. But what court order, without a court order, without a warrant. Every time they feel bored, they will come. It is 3 years now this thing being happening. We report to the police. It's not happening. I've been provoked, and it's known that I have armed security forces, but we never use them because we are family.
So obviously when he was granted bail, it was basically after the ballistics had revealed that the gun he had fired was a replica and not a real firearm. So obviously this led to the NPA having to revise the charges against him, as the gun did not fall under the Firearms Control Act, right? So basically, because of that, he was allowed to go out on bail of 3,000 rand. Here's the twist, though. Here's what I don't like. So Mboro and his son are out on bail, but the bodyguard is still inside. Is that fair? Is that really fair?
Who's released on Winnie?
Who's released on Winnie?
There's someone who's released on Winnie.
Isn't that the son? That's the son.
No, yesterday, I think. I'm not sure.
Hmm. Still a little bit funny though. How, you know, imagine like, you know, you are a pastor and you know you're doing everything is fine, right? But as a bodyguard, you're just there. You're in trouble because your boss decided no, man. Let's unleash, exactly. I'm in trouble because of my employee, you know? And it's like, why do I always have to suffer the brunt of what my boss did? I was just following orders, you know? What do you guys think?
First and foremost, ne? Let's start here. It's funny how Mpo is supposedly to be believed that he used a fake gun, but then this guy, EFF guy, Malema is out and in court for the same matter, whereby he's saying it's a fake gun. You know? So it seems like it's now a strategy to be used, eh?
It is.
And then to answer your question on doing anything for your employer and then ending up getting into trouble as an employee, it happens in corporate world. It happens everywhere, and it's a sad story because sometimes you are forced as an employee to go in trouble. You can't say no because you depend on that
person.
It's quite sad what happens to employees,
I guess, because especially if you look at especially the farm murder,
even that one,
the employee,
good example, actually.
The employee again is also in the matter as well. Example, and it's like always the employees also implicated.
Anyway, now like you woke up on Monday and then you found these people dead, so it's not a funny story, but the way it happened, yes, I understand why we are laughing about it, but it's not a funny story because then this guy woke up on Monday or Tuesday, whatever day it was, and then he went to the farm, and then when he got to the farm he found his bodies and he was like, hey Mlungu, what's happening? Mlungu was like, hey Joe, let's go and put them there. I won't say wabo. Okay, sharp. Yeah, wabo. So now you're in court
and you're facing murder charges as well on top of that because of your employer. But you know what? Maybe, but we don't know at this point. Maybe he was also the one who maybe shot
them. I doubt.
Love it, guys. Support, ne? Let's fight. Let's fight the good fight. Anyway, going back to Mboro. Yeah. So, obviously, before Mboro was released, the MPA had accused the magistrate on the matter that, magistrate man seems a bit impartial. This after the MPA found out that they had a secret meeting with Mboro and his legal team without the state. So it's, you know, it was the MPA was like, no, but you need to remove yourself from the process. You can't still go on. But no, the magistrate came back as like, you're playing. What do you mean I must remove myself? It wasn't serious.
I heard the part whereby in suit we call it Ajishwa, but then my principal used to say it, it's Homia Mushat. Well, which basically means you do it, you are guilty. You don't do it, you are guilty. I hear her saying that in part of the judgment that she was delivering. So, honestly, I haven't listened to the whole thing. Yeah. But then I don't think she will jeopardize her work like that. When people know, I mean, it was leaked or whatever, but then people know that she met them. So I don't think it was serious.
But at the same time, there's still some sort of legality issue in that because you can't you can't meet the other team without the other team. It doesn't make any sense. And it really, really does draw a lot of suspicion and as to what exactly was the conversation had in there. And I don't blame the NPA wanting her, what's the legal term, recused. But you know what? We move and we learn. This is what's going on. So Mboro's going to have church, guys. Go to church, yes.
He's going to rent a church, the whole service is going to be about
how he survived the fight, how he
fought
there.
He's like Paul, he went to prison, now he comes back.
Exactly, you know what, it's going to be an interesting Sunday for the parish.
Wait. I'm not sure if you guys are aware. Is it the same person who said he went to God and took a photograph?
Yeah, it's the same person. It's the same person.
The same pastor.
Okay.
Oh, you gotta love South African pastors, hey? But anyways, guys, speaking of parishes, not parishes, but our former Minister of Public Enterprises, Pravin Gordhan has died at the age of 75, right? So this was confirmed by the presidency. They released a statement this morning, and the president said he's deeply saddened by the passing of the former minister and offered his condolences to the family. Obviously, the ANC as well released a full statement how he served the country, how he was very much behind the political forces, blah, 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 Figulan Balula speaking and being poetic as usual. And then you have EFF.
Before EFF, there's something that I recognize on Twitter today. Mm. There's a publication that is forcing us and feeding us that Pravin Gordhan was this person who opened state capture,
who exposed capture.
So now we are forced to consume that. You see it in the video, like when you scroll, you see it about 3 to 4 times. Mm. Oh, I'm like, okay, nah. Personally, I didn't want to say anything about this guy because, firstly, this guy, we know what happened to
Exactly.
We know what happened to Transnet. Mm-hmm. We come from stage 6 of load shedding. So guys, I'm sorry, but I didn't want to say anything about this guy. Okay, Sharp, let's take it that he exposed state capture.
Mm.
And we had that inquiry for about 2 years or 1 year. But what good has it
done? Nothing fruitful ever came from that. You still have people who are arguing. I mean, the Chief Justice Zondo Akere, he just also retired.
Yeah.
And you have people arguing that, did Zondo really do anything? I mean, did he really probe? Did he really, like, deliver what we expected him to deliver? At the end of the day, it seemed as if he was just also a puppet put there to appease the public. I mean, yes, you know, he asked questions, but there were just some questions where, you know, the most of the people were like, hey, my brother, if I don't know, I don't know. I think we all remember that clip.
It's quite sad because it's taxpayers' money. And as a taxpayer now, what's happening. So, yeah, he spent those months having that sitting that paid nothing. The NPA has not prosecuted anyone, has not attempted to prosecute anyone based on what is in the state capture. Okay, we might argue it is Melani, but then Melani is VBS.
Yeah, it's different.
We might argue Koko from Eskom CEO, but he's out.
Yeah.
And he's even challenging the NPA to say, hey, my guy, you did your thing wrong.
Yeah.
So, guys,
there is a lot of controversy on obviously the passing of Gordhan, right? Yeah. And it's really
Jamnanda's as the EFF
used to. But yeah, also things, most of the things will be left unsaid now. Like, everything will just be hanging.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what most people are arguing on Twitter. That so now this guy's dead. Who's going to be held accountable? Yeah, who's going to now be able to say, you did this wrong? And it's, I mean, and like it, I said, it's a very, it's those, it's like the de Klerk
let's call a spade a spade. With de Klerk, it's totally different. We know what he stood for, ne? But then with this one, there's two sides. We are told, oh, no, he's a leader.
And then the other side is saying,
we're not going to share the chair.
EFF, truly, guys, I must say, they stick to what they do best.
Consistent.
I love their consistency. They don't care. They really don't care. I mean, if you read their statement, they went on to literally describe how Gordhan was the embodiment of greed, corruption, and
I see the whole statement, just the last paragraph of the statement. they say, we'll not celebrate a fake legacy. So now that we have EMK and MK, we know Pravin and State Capture and Jacob Zuma. So I'm wondering what will they say now that
Pravin has passed. Statement as well.
But then let's say he will rest well.
I think they also say something similar to what ANC
is saying. Because
I think as far as much as we'd like to obviously disagree, but I think MK Party, Jacob Zuma and Pravin Gordhan were still in good books. I would like to understand
because
that.
Because he gave him minister.
Exactly. He gave him ministry. So I think very, very, they will also release a statement relatively also being the same as ANC. Spokesperson to President Cyril Ramaphosa shared a brief audio with everyone on the statement. Let's take a listen to that one.
Pravin Gordhan's personal sacrifices and his endeavors and achievements in various sectors of our society endowed him with the insights, empathy, and resilience that fueled his service to the nation. South Africa has lost an outstanding leader whose unassuming persona belied the depth of intellect, integrity, and energy with which he undertook his activism, his duty as a parliamentarian, and his roles as a member of cabinet.
So did you see the visual? Yes, not yesterday, sorry. On
Wednesday.
On Tuesday he was he admitted on Tuesday or Monday?
Between Monday and Tuesday.
Monday and Tuesday. And then they held the vigil
on the night. And there was also interesting things that was being said, you know, same thing as ANC. Everybody was like saying he did a lot for the country and everything.
Way he's controversial, even in the ANC. I remember years back, Fikile Mbalula, the now Secretary General, said, "No, you can't hold us at ransom. If you want to open your party and do your own thing, open it and do it." And today, now, Pravin has passed. Fikile Mbalula is now feeding us 15 posts per second. This guy was a legend.
He was fighting corruption. That's what they say.
That guy is high. I'm not going to say anything about this guy. We'll see State Capture, what happens to State Capture.
It's done.
That it will bear fruits.
I was listening to, radio. I'm not sure if it is 947 or what, but they were having the same conversation of what will go forward with State Capture. Like, will the people be persecuted? And people were like, State Capture must just at this point be put aside and just
waste of time.
Nobody will be prosecuted. Nobody will ever be held liable. We just need to accept it as a nation that it's one tricks that was played upon.
But then my question is, are we saying corruption did not happen during those years, or are we saying what is contained in the report might be misleading? That's the question I want.
How can I put it? It's a valid question, but I feel like we all know the answers. We all know the answers. There was corruption.
No, let's say alleged.
There was no alleged. There was corruption. There was definitely corruption. The rail system collapsed. I mean, there were multiple problems that were going on behind this man that was going on. And yes, fine, we can agree that he came in obviously with corruption. Well, obviously, you know that thing, you know how a minister chooses his cabinet. A president chooses his cabinet. In a sense where he knows those people that he puts in charge, what he wants them to do. So we can't now say Pravin Gordhan is not corrupt, alleged corrupt, while as we accuse Jacob Zuma of being corrupt.
Exactly.
They were buddies, and we know that Jacob Zuma was probably giving orders to his ministerial cabinets to say, "You take that, take a little bit there."
Speaking about ministers, I want us to change the focus, not to speak about guy who has passed on. Let's speak about something that is happening today.
Mm-hmm.
OCV was said, "I'm not coming there." To the signing of the bill. So, guys, how do you feel about that?
Now when, I'm lost. I'm completely lost. When the person, she's the same person. I think a week ago, said that I will with the Bella bill. The Bella bill will need implementation, and I'm so forward. I think she said she agreed that she would, that the department will have to implement it, and they will implement.
I come from a political party that respects the rule of law and that understands constitutionalism on a deep level. And so we understood coming into the government of national unity that there were things that, or policies that we may not have agreed with the ANC when we went to the ANC government, when we came into the GNU. But, and that's, I suppose, the complexity, right, of such a governance arrangement. But at the end of the day, I have to understand what my oath says and what my responsibilities are as a minister. And as I say, luckily for me, I come from a party that has a deep understanding of what my constitutional obligations would be. And so if my political party decides that, you know, they would want to take the bill on review, ultimately I have to remain the Minister of Basic Education and do my job. I was, you know, the party entrusted me with this responsibility, and the people of South Africa are looking to me to not be partisan in the execution of my work.
So today she said, I'm uneasy. President, think... you can celebrate alone there. And
I don't really like that sense of thing. I mean, yes, as a political party, you are against it, but you are not a political party anymore. Yes, you are part of the, obviously, the political party, but you now present a ministry that is for the people as well. So yes, she may be stuck, what is it, divided into two, but I feel like the ministry has to now outweigh the fact party. That
yes, it's true,
because at the end of the day, guys, the Bella bill, I read the Bella bill and I did a story on the Bella bill, it's not that bad. I don't understand why it's not bad. And I think
agree with it, it's in terms of undocumented. But we know the problem lies with Home Affairs.
With Home Affairs. That has nothing to do with the Department of Education. They can't monitor that.
Yeah.
That obviously needs to require the Department of Higher Education. Basically, like Home Affairs, sorry. Mm. But my problem is that with the arguments that the DA is making, I feel like they're coming from, at it from a, how can I put it without seeming very... they're the same thing as AfriForum. Remember, AfriForum also was against the Bella bill, and they argued that the policies there threaten the Afrikaner heritage, which I beg to differ. I don't think it threatens it in a major way. I mean, you still have schools now where it's full on African schools. You have Woody Furtrekker, whatever high school and whatever, and they still classes where they teach they teach in Afrikaans. So I don't understand where the threat may be, especially if you have a SGB which majority is Afrikaans schools. I must understand, in an Afrikaans neighborhood, the majority neighborhood would be Afrikaans parents, and they would then be for the school, you know. Because I get at the end of the day, because the Bella bill still encourages the SGB to still make choices, make decisions. Yes. So the SGB still has that power to say, yeah, as a majority, we'd still like Afrikaans in the school. We'd still like Afrikaans teachings to be occurring in the school. Mm. So the arguments for me are none... like, they're not valid. I don't know if they
Let's wait. They said they are going to court. We'll hear. Honestly, I can't add or subject what you said in terms of the bill. But then they are saying we are going to court to be against this bill. Ne? So let's wait and hear what they say in court papers. Because what they are saying now is they don't make sense.
They don't make sense. They really don't make sense. Because
speaking about CVA, she said, I know my party is against this thing. I think she was also speaking to Clement Manyatheda, where she said, my party is against this, but then if the president signed this, will have to.
She will have to implement. That's what I'm referencing.
So today, so now,
it's very shocking.
And what's funny? What's funny is that ANC and EFF agreed agreed with each other. Within 2 days. Yesterday they agreed, the president and the NCOP was asked if he believes that a clinic should operate 24 hours, and then he said, yeah, I agree with you, it's just that we have budget constraints. And then today they issued that thing, we voted for it, now sign it, they are supporting the president because they are fueling the fire.
Honestly, guys, the Bella Bill, I think everybody is for the Bella Bill. Many organizations. There were times where people can make submissions, and the submissions were made. And yes, the submissions were taken into consideration by the National Assembly. And we have the Bella Bill now, and I wouldn't say perfect, but I think it's great. And I think it's all about the implementation of the bill itself that will be in question.
Yeah. I mean, they're saying, if your child does not go to school,
you go to jail.
I agree with that as well.
And that's why we've been saying all of these years, to say, okay, if your child does not go to school, you have to account.
Exactly.
And I have a lot of kids that are roaming around.
And the thing is, there's this thing where people are like, no. And because this argument has been around a long time. And people were like, no, but we don't have the financial capital. Guys, we have government schools that don't require you to have capital.
And most of government schools, they're just close by. It's just, especially like just in Gauteng.
Let's be honest. People have been lying about this bill. They're saying, the school can take a decision for a child to do go abortion. That's a lie.
It's not in the bill.
Let's correct the false. Definitely not in the bill.
But I love how we're all united and we're for the bill. We must be all for the bill, guys. Regardless of what the DA says. Now let's move on, right? Moving on to no DNA, just RSA. Guys, you gotta love that phrase.
Yeah.
Guys, South Africa just has a winning streak, and Bafana Bafana have been keeping citizens on their feet. I mean, Herman was even wearing the Bafana Bafana shirt.
I'm a proud South African, Joe. I'm not even getting my first tattoo to say no DNA, just RSA.
Just RSA.
The achievement of Bafana Bafana does not start with the win.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ronan Williams was nominated for the most well-known award, Ballon d'Or. So, I mean, we are doing well as a county.
We are definitely doing well as a county.
In terms of sports.
I mean, okay, Gaten is doing the most, I guess. He's encouraging people.
He knows what he's doing.
But then I'm disappointed because he said he does not have that trust in Bafana Bafana, and I'm happy that they disappointed him.
I think we're all happy that they showed forward and they brought everything, all their might. I mean, they did a draw against Uganda, and then they
which was disappointing.
Honestly, they redeemed themselves.
But they redeemed themselves with South Sudan 3-2. Yeah. You know, and obviously, but apparently we have a new player who's doing the most as well in those games. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right.
Is it the one from Orlando Pirates?
He saved us two times.
You know, he's doing the most. He's saving us countless of times, guys. Let's play that clip where he scores that goal. In the Sudan versus SA.
That one is Shoga Kita got a trap of Wapinda Utalanta Pata Wapinda with the man's Orlando. We make him not turn again with the Sakosho Wapinda Utalanta Pata. Why Kurunum South Africa come on, dear lady? Bola your Kibel, I suck this your Kibel on South Africa. You pug my uncle, bench of South Africa, get a paga tebaleni. Yathi namhlanje uphinde wasonyula phakanyiswe kahle la set piece yabethwa ngehloko yachithwa yadibana notalente Mbatha engaphandle eboxini ngenqina lasekhohlo ezolile besithi bayichithilwe ibamba ngesifuba utalente Mbatha wayibeka phansi ibhola wathi awugqiba wathi umnathi ungafa bahlaba ngedolo phansi
abadlali beSouth Sudan baqonde ba kugqitshiwe.
So guys, obviously going forward, the coach Hugo Bro says he has mixed feelings in regards to this, in regards to the team's performance so far in the campaign. He says that the draw against Uganda, they could have done better. We all agree they could have done better. And he says the team needs to be more focused and sharper from the start of the game in all fronts.
Yeah, what and they make think? A lot of mistakes. He did say that they make a lot of mistakes. They said there was a penalty that was that could have been avoided, but
I didn't watch the match, the full match, because I was curious. But I also hear my take on Bafana Bafana guys is that I'm happy. I know where Bafana Bafana comes from. So seeing this performance, I'm really happy to be South African. And at least we can bride the verse with the boy be happy. But also we can go and jive with Bafana Bafana
and be happy too.
Exactly. So they are doing well. I'm happy with their performance. Yes, I still believe that there are those mistakes that need to be corrected. But all in all, I'm happy with their performance. We've seen them in, I think it was January.
Yes.
The one that led to Ron Williams being nominated. And then, we are number two in the group team now. So we are doing well.
I think all around they're doing very well.
They are doing well. So I think we should support them.
I think from but now on, the stadium should be filled.
The spirit is coming. We just need to go out there in numbers. As much as we support
Springbok,
we also need to support
I think that support will definitely grow. Yeah. And I think it is growing, if we have not noticed. I think it's definitely growing.
Again, you saw what happened with Bafana Bafana when they were playing in Bloemfontein. People are freaking love football.
I think it has always existed. It's just, it's just different parts of the country that are still now coming to warm up, guys. But yeah, so they face Congo again in October. But before that, they'll have a friendly game with Algeria or one of those countries. But we wish them all the luck, guys. Yes. Speaking of, but again, back to Ronald Williams, guys. I mean, the 2024 Ballon d'Or. I'm not going to butcher that name, but he's the first South African player and first African-based team player to be nominated for this prestigious award, guys. English, prestigious. Yes. Prestigious award, guys. I mean, guys, gotta get, like, I'm telling you guys, no DNA. Just
for us, it's already a win.
Being nominated, it's already a win.
We can celebrate, we can pop champagne. I mean, it's a win. Whatever happens in it's the like hours, like, yeah, boy,
we made it to that.
We have already won.
Exactly, guys. And I would love to think that this also achievement, because William did tell himself that he hopes that this achievement is also an encouragement for South Africa to still continue having faith in football. And I think it will also strive and force also the departments of sports, arts and culture to be more focused on football rather than rugby, obviously. Yeah. We're not saying don't take the focus away from rugby. We're just saying, but let's just divide it.
Yeah.
Let's divide the love equally.
When you speak about motivation, it's definitely a motivation, because looking at where he comes from, I mean, he comes from Gqeberha, Eastern Cape. We know the conditions in the Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
So if someone can be as successful as him from that place, I mean, imagine. What's stopping people born in Midrand, born in whatever place you may like. So I believe that he will motivate the upcoming. And yes, Safa needs to do a lot.
Safa needs to do a lot. Change, guys.
Needs to go to the drawing board and say, now we are planning, we are properly planning.
If not drawing board, I think they need to go to rehab, figure out what they want to do, and come back focused and more serious, guys. And leave the politics out of... I feel like the politics must leave sports, and we must just focus. But
I for one, believe that Denis Jordan has done much. it's time to go and sit down, enjoy his retirement package. I mean, it's a nice thing. That he does not have to apply for two boards.
He just needs to go home and let's sit. Not touch on two boards. People are already putting in their applications, guys. Let's move on.
Hey, this December is going to be nice. Nah,
it's going to be hectic. I'm telling you.
Foolishness, leave your two pots. Leave them. But you know what? Nice. South Africans, you guys like groove and money and alcohol. That it will be the death of you. I'm telling you guys, that two pots, you're going to need it in the future. But let's leave it.
But for me, I still stand by the Ninja Dan. Please, my guy.
Sit down.
Yeah.
You know what,
guys? Let's allow
others to play.
No? And I believe in Mema Ole Dwaba. I believe she's a good leader. I've seen her a couple of times. I've heard her speak. So I believe she can do well in terms of sports. Yeah. Okay. Moving along.
Man, you love it. Guys, speaking of moving along and speaking of people who need to give other people light and space to perform. DJ Maphorisa is back again trending for something entirely different, guys. So something Soweto recently voiced his frustration over not being credited in a featured artist on a song called Amalanga Awafan.
It's a nice song, right?
Which involves DJ Maphorisa, Mez Music, and Ludwizi, right? So initially...
And something Soweto.
Initially, his name was missing from the credits, sparking outrage among the fans and people saying that they're going to boycott the song, right? And obviously, doing what musicians do best when there's feud and tension, they took it to an Instagram Live.
He seems like he wanted to cry. And he said, I'm doing a lot for this culture.
I don't know what I've done for South Africa. Let's take a listen to that audio, guys.
I've said a lot of things. I've crawled for you guys. This is what I'm going to man. All but they want to see me down because of I'm the guy. I've made happen. I'm a piano. It's Africa. It's a village. Yes. Like my piano, yes. Do you know what I've did for this country? Listen to anything for the country. You help people about betray. You help people about betray. But I'm still here. I'm still standing. I'm still strong.
But, okay, so basically, right? So, but despite this backlash and everything, and there was a bit of a back and forth, but eventually, something Soweto eventually got the credit that he wanted, and he was officially added to the song. But here's my question. Was the drama necessary? Like, they should have just kept him on the song initially. And yes, the Maphorisa says no. He played a minuscule of a part in the song, but I feel like still, even if I paid a minuscule of the part, if my vocals are in the song, if my sweat or my effort is in the song, put me in the song, say featuring something Soweto.
But Gwena, speaking on that part, I was listening to Umet G this morning. He explained the entire thing. Ati, your voice, yes, you have your vocals, but you need to contribute financially to the song. For the promos, for the video, for the radio. So apparently something Soweto did not contribute financially. That's why Maphorisa was like, you are not going to be part of the song.
But then that I don't know what happens, but that does not sound right. Because, you have Uzahara.
Yeah. Yes.
Bobo. She was taken from a rural place to say, come to Joburg, let's make music. And she had to be credited. I know it's still a hot topic.
Yeah, it's very sensitive.
But then, I'm just making an example that we have talent with people who are not financially well. So I come with my talent, you promote the music, we gain, win at the end of the day.
And I think at the end of the day, it's a matter of, yes, I didn't put in financially.
And plus, he's a well-known DJ. He's a well-known DJ.
We can put the finances and find out the song is trash.
And the thing is, we can't lie and say something Soweto didn't promote it. Soweto did promote it. Let's not lie. He did promote
it. And he's talented.
And he's talented. So, and everybody, what's funny is that everybody heard the song with him, with his vocals. before it officially came out. Yeah. So now you're telling me we go from listening to this amazing song to
My Fresh but then,
without the vocals.
For me, I'm not including anyone or any organization. For me, I mean, every time when there's a hit song, there's this drama with Maphoyisa. Mm. I think they are now using it as a marketing strategy. Mm. I don't want to say for sure, but then I feel so.
But it's true.
Because mostly when a song is doing well and then they are trying to push, you'll find Maphoyisa going live, you'll find Mpanban going live and saying, you know what? This person owns the soul.
Yeah.
But I was listening to, who's this guy? I was listening to some podcast, I forgot, but then he did a song with Maphoyisa. And he was saying, for me, Maphoyisa is good. We speak. And then we heard Megji acknowledge you, Maphoyisa has done a lot for the music.
We're not disputing that, but Maphoyisa is a bully at some point.
Now I feel like it's no longer about people raising their grievances, but it's a way to market and bring consumers numbers in.
I mean it can be both, it can be different, it's a world of things because we don't work in the music industry. We don't know what's going on.
Cedril was crying last time.
Cedril was also crying.
It was slightly after they had released the song. So you get to think about it.
It might be a strategic tactic.
But like Nandi says, Maphoyisa Lena can also pretend to be a bully. I mean, he mentioned Uncle Waffles at some point. He was also talking about Waffles. Waffles was another guy one of two.
Are you very famous? It's because of him.
He even made a piano to be famous.
Maphoyisa did a lot. Again, would not dispute that Herman, we're just saying,
but I find a way to address it. Don't just go out and
Every day you are attacked.
We're all bound to break
at this point.
He breaks all the time.
But anyway, guys, let's wrap it up. But thank you guys for joining us. That's all for this week's news wrap. Remember that you can find our latest podcast, review, and subscribe for free on Iono FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. You can also find us or follow us on all social media platforms at Sowetan Live. This is a Times Live production, and our producer is Demi Buzo. Don't forget you can have a listen to our other podcasts, Sunday Times Politics Weekly, Taking the Rams by the Horns, Business Day Spotlight, Gogo, Have I Been Scammed, and 30 Years of Democracy. Thank you for tuning in. Join us again next week for more updates on the biggest stories from me, Gwena Mashale, and my colleagues, Nandi and Herman.
Bye!